us about into the community college space, the first 2 years of college, and you know, reserving that space for us and saying, yes, we can do research, we can contribute to this there. So that would be a great resource. I have the link there at the top there if you want to go back and look at it. One of the things that I want to focus on, though, is I think John was just talking about it in his keynote, you know, good teaching. And so starting off on page four, they really get to the heart of it, right? So you're looking at good teaching, scholarly teaching, and the scholarship of teaching and learning. That's what SOTL stands for, the S-O-T-L, the scholarship of teaching and learning there. And it's kind of like a reflective process. You're getting the research, you're doing like evidence-based there. And so in my Project Slope work there, you know, I was starting to research, I was starting to be reflective in my teaching, and I really wanted to start to think about, you know, what do I want to go towards there? And if you move along with over on slide four with me, one of the main things that I wanted to be looking at here was, you know, I want to start thinking about the student experience. What can the research tell me about the students' experiences? And, you know, a lot of times we teachers say that they have things of their about their classroom experiences. The students say things. Sometimes they're disjoint. Sometimes they overlap there, you know. So, you know, who should we be trusting? Whose experiences? You know, is it basically, hey, it's my way or the highway type of idea? Or, you know, maybe I'll kind of think about what you're saying there. So what are you thinking here? Maybe could you just enter a number from 0 to 100? You know, what is your gut feeling about how much a teacher should trust the experience, the student experience there? Are you gonna put in 20? Do you think it's 20? Are you kind of in the middle? Are you at 50? Are you past that? Do you wanna put like 76, 75% percent there? You know, what are you thinking there, right? So if I just go ahead and put 50, right? So nice. If you're looking at your data here, when I'm looking at the group, I can see I put 50 there, and it looks like somebody else did as well there. We have as low, looks like we have one person here that's saying about 6%. All right, well, now they changed their mind. Now they're at 20%. Ooh, we have an outlier at over there, right? Now people are sort of changing their mind. Maybe that was, you maybe wrote it as a percentage there. All right, and I like how some people are going like 100%, right? We should trust 100% of what the students are saying there, right? So thank you for sharing that data there. I think this is kind of interesting just to kind of think about, you know, how much should we be trusting the student there? Right? But maybe let's kind of step away from that language a little bit of trusting, right? So maybe I should be using more of a different type of word. You know, as I was kind of looking at my research there, it was maybe just being more mindful and just raising your awareness to what they are thinking there, right? Or just what the students are experiencing. So when we are looking at this, you know, in what ways are we able to provide a voice, right, for our students so that we can listen in how they're experiencing our course there, right? Could you maybe share just one, two, or three ideas here with us? What is one way, two ways, three ways students experiencing our classroom, right? And how can they share that experience? How can we bring that experience? How can we put a voice to that there, right? So think about that for a moment. I'm going to look to see what you all are saying. Anonymous surveys. Ooh, I like that. Carl Siegel here. Let me go and just put awesome to you. I like the anonymous surveys. And that brings up a good point. You know, if you want to build that relationship, should the students be doing things anonymous, or should they be saying, hey, this is me, and just to let you know there, right? And that's an important balance to be making there. Thank you, Carl, for sharing that. Meeting one-on-one, conversationally, right? Yeah, and I think the right now in these terms, you know, that one-on-one can take on many different forms. It can maybe be through a Zoom. It can be in a physical space. Maybe you meet one-on-one in an email, All right, so great there, I like that. Evaluations, I think that is, you know, at the very end of the semester, reflective questioning. Yeah, so maybe when is that reflective questioning happening? Do a check-in survey, right? Yeah, so maybe this could be in your LMS, your learning management system. Maybe it could just be something that you do daily. Provide a safe space. All right, I like how this person, right? Love the idea of a safe space. I'll share that with that person there, right? And so I think that's what we want to do, you know, that if I want to hear your experience, I want you to be safe, because maybe you'll share a positive or a negative experience there. So I'm seeing lots of great things there. So, you know, this was what I was thinking about. I want to look for in the research, how could I gather this type of information? If we move over to slide 6 then, so, okay, so I'm gonna be creating maybe some surveys. I'm gonna start gathering, right? And I want to be thinking about, all right, well, what is important for me, you know, to get in the students' experiences, right? You know, what type of experiences do we want to focus on? Maybe it's tests. Maybe that is one thing that you want to focus on. Or, you know, maybe it's something a little bit more broad, or maybe it's still kind of office hours. Maybe it's something like that, you know? What is important to you? You know, if you wanted to really get into the experience of students, you know, where do you think that you would go there? Let me give you a moment to kind of think about where you want to gather, or like what experiences you want to know, and then I'll share yours with mine there. Okay, I'm gonna look to see what you are saying. I like to know if the value, let me go ahead and just kind of, I'm gonna switch up that time entered. I'm gonna go ahead and shuffle these people so I can see different people at the very beginning. Procrastination, oh, that's an interesting one. Let me go ahead and highlight to that person there. Ooh, interesting. I like that. You know, how would you gather that with that person there? You know, maybe if you're trying to think about, you know, when during the semester do you procrastinate, or what do you procrastinate on? Do you procrastinate on studying? Do you procrastinate of reaching out to me? You know, that seems like a pretty interesting topic there. Time management, study habits, caring about. Do students feel that they can be themselves as mathematicians? Okay. So maybe as they are in the classroom, do they feel like a mathematician? When they are doing the online homework, do they feel like a mathematician? Proactive learning. Ooh, that's interesting. Reactive, all right, flipping and learning. Active all the time, thinking a lot, seeing me as their coach. Ooh, seeing there as the coach. I like the shout out to this person here. Coach, I like that idea there. Was it difficult in learning? Cool, I like to see like all your ideas. Now, so for me, as you know, I was thinking about, well, during my teaching practices, you know, I think that's a pretty broad sense there, right? So teaching, what, how, when I teach, what is going on with the student's experience, right? I'm trying to do something, are they also getting it? I also wanna think about my classroom norms. You know, I try to make the safe space, but are students experiencing that safe space that I'm trying to provide? Or am I not aware of certain biases that could be evolved there? And then maybe another one could be like my course design here. So, you know, I could have done like office hours, also maybe procrastination, like some people, you know, I think these are a lot of good ideas that you were talking about there. But you know, for me, I'm gonna be focusing on these three, right? So I've started my research, I wanna focus on the experience. Now I'm gonna narrow it into these three places, right? Well, then what am I gonna do with these three places? What type of vision? So now this is where the E-Ray vision comes in. So if you can move over to slide 7 with me, over on slide 7, I want to use this power of equity here. Right, and I'm going to use this type of framework that has access, achievement, identity, and power. Right, so this comes from Rochelle Guterres, right? And this actually, you know, this is 2012. Think about that for a moment there. I love this idea. You know, this is 8 years, and even people before were trying to define and take a moment for equity. And, you know, I have to think about and reflect on myself, you know, why did it take me so long to become aware of this here? But this, when I was looking at this research, this is what really resonated for me. And, you know, there are different frameworks of equity. Find something that resonates for you to get your own type of a vision there. But, you know, for her, you know, access is tangible resources, right? You can look at achievement, refers to the participation in the quality of mathematics, right? But those are those kind of two main things I think we already build on. Now, the other two that can really challenge me, at least challenges me, is really looking at this critical axis of identity, supporting the students, becoming better people, and maybe looking at power, right? Taking up that social transformation there. So I have the areas that I want, and now I'm gonna use this equity to try to give me a vision into the students' experiences and trying to create a sense of fairness. Have you ever tried her framework of equity? I'd really be interested to kind of see if yes or no from the crowd here. Okay. And if you want to look at more, I have some videos and I have some papers and other research there. You can see how she's expanded into more of like trying to rehumanize mathematics and looking at it, just not these four pillars. She's done a beautiful job of really kind of defining it into actually more. What did you all say there? Have you tried this before? All right, so I have 32 of you on the note, and oh, I would like to maybe see those four people, maybe kind of chat with them, and maybe they could kind of help me as well there, right? So good, this is maybe something that you might be able to use in your own classroom then. So moving over to slide 8 with me. So now you can kind of see that I'm going to be using this framework of equity, and this is Luke's E-ray vision, right? So these are the rays that are coming from my course design, right? I have this ray going to the right, and this is looking at achievement. I have this ray that's going to the left, and that's going to be looking at the access. I have this ray that's going to be looking at power. This is the right, the how I'm going to be approaching it, right? And notice, I think there's a key difference here. I'm not developing it and then say, well, did I make it equitable, right? Equity is in the center, right? So then I don't even have to ask, is this an equitable practice? Because I've tried to focus on equity from the very beginning. So I can look at those four pillars, and then I can be thinking about the course design, the course norms, the teaching practices there, okay? So if you wanted to focus on one of these, could you maybe just circle one of these? Identity, you know, are you going to look at the identity, the access, the achievement, or the power? If you could maybe focus on one pillar of equity, even though all four are very important, but maybe could you just kind of circle one of those and maybe just kind of share with us about which one that you circled? I'm going to look at the group here. Okay, I got some people circling. Looks like achievement and access. Yeah, I think those are, you know, usually our two go-tos. You know, I think that is our comfortable space there. That is kind of like what is normally focused on in classrooms, making sure, you know, we have success and retention, right? Making sure that students are successful and moving on. That is achievement there. Making sure that they have access to quality instruction, things like that there. So I definitely think, you know, starting at a place that you're sort of familiar would be great there. And I love how sort of this balance here, we get to see that we have achievement and access within our group. Here we have like a 13-11, and then we have some other people also on the critical access. They're looking at power and identity there. Great work there. Thanks for sharing that with me. So now I have my student experiences. I have the areas I'm going to focus on. I'm using my E-ray vision. Now I need to think about, well, what course am I going to be thinking about? All right. And so when I'm looking at my course, you know, in my research, I've done a lot of work with the calculus there. And if you teach calculus, right, David has done some amazing work there. and continues to do amazing work there. But definitely, this is a free publication. Definitely check that out there. But you know, one thing that struck me is that calculus is a unique position as a gatekeeper, right? And when I look at that gatekeeper, you know, that doesn't sound too good of an experience, right? It's an insurmountable obstacle. It's greatly discouraged, all right? It's more of a filter than like a pump there, right? And so when I'm thinking about that, I'm just, you know, it kind of saddens my heart when I think about this. You know, something that I deeply love is treating people like this, right? And I was just like, and you know, I have been contributing to this, you know, and was I not aware of what I was doing there? And even it says, you know, calculus is still a filter, even after this big reform that was happening in 1988 there, right? We've already seen some great presentations from last week of talking about the problems in the STEM field, right? So now I have my course that's going to be happening, right? So I'm going to be looking at calculus. So if you move along with me on slide 10, so now I'm going to use equity as a guide in listening to the student experience in Calculus 1. So I'm going to thinking about course design. What is something about achievement in course design in my student's experience? What about access? What is that type of experience there for my students there? And power and identity, right? I'm gonna create almost like a rubric. I'm gonna create 12 different statements here centered in equity and try to see what the students are experiencing when I'm trying to be my best here in Calculus 1, right? So I really noticed how the equity framework helped me in finding that fairness for each student so that I don't only focus on one part of a student's experience in course design. You know, I think in the past, my course design was making sure, like as you are right now, in a Desmos activity, but there's so much more to course design than that, right? So I kind of narrowed my vision, but equity broadened that spectrum for me. And it's gonna help me with my classroom norms and teaching practices. And it's also challenging me to look at my own biases and maybe something that I am not aware of, right? So we're gonna break out into some breakout sessions here. If you could just maybe look at my screen, I'm going to kind of go over these. We're going to do a couple card sorts. So I have the pillars of equity, and I'm going to have you go ahead and try to figure out, well, which statement did Luke think that this went with, right? You can see that this says currently your card sort is different from what Luke thought. If you get them all correct, right, and you can join them together. So here is just a randomization. Hopefully I don't get it right. I'm just kind of randomly putting these together. Right. So as you break out in your groups there, there's going to be three different card sorts. I want you to try to match these, right? And what I'm trying for you to see here is just, you know, these statements might mean different to different people, right? My idea of achievement, right? And I'm still just trying to learn, you know, what does achievement really mean there? So I want you to go through those processes. So I'm going to make a slides 11, 12, 13 available here in just a moment. And then 14, if you want to skip those, and if you want to get to questions, you can go ahead and put questions for me to try and get those there. Okay, so it's 12:24. Okay, so I'm gonna go ahead and create some breakout rooms here. Let's see, can I do that or do I need to have the main host do that? Well, look.
So go ahead and try, it depends on your license.
Could you just go ahead and do it for me? I'm not
sure. I can do that. Let's see. We've got about 100. How many people do you want in a room?
Could you put like maybe 4 or 5? I think that would be a great
4 or 5. So I'm going to go with 26 rooms.
Okay.
And I'm going to just assign automatically. And here we go. How much time?
Could you give them 10 minutes, please?
Okay. 10 minutes. Here we go.
All right, so we are coming back now. And let's see, I'm gonna go ahead and pause my video again. All right, and so I was just writing some feedback to this person here that was mentioning we need better definitions of the terms. And that's a great point about the, the great point about the definitions. Diving into the research will help. And so I know that I was kind of vague with that one. And you know, that kind of takes some time. And I think that those definitions will kind of develop and they will mature as you kind of move on there. So I'll come back and I will look at through these. Right? I like the way using the words what Luke thought rather than right or wrong there. Oh, awesome there. The third page was very difficult. Cool. So just because of time. So if you move over to slide 15 for me. So here was just like my tentative way that I was looking at this here. Right. And so for like calculus course design, course norms and teaching practices. And I developed these almost like about a year ago there. And so, they're starting to taking on different things. And sometimes I even kind of question myself a little bit, you know, for survey three in the teaching practices, I have, you know, this course, but all the rest of them, I have my instructor. And I was just kind of thinking about, well, why didn't I put my instructor helps me develop my confidence in exploring mathematics there, right? So I think this is just a good time shot of, you know, maybe this is just where you are with your E-Ray vision, right? And maybe these are just things that you value there. But overall, you know, it helped me to be mindful and purposeful in how students were experiencing, right? So if I'm trying to work on, I am proud of how I work through opportunities in calculus, how am I designing the course so that that happens there, right? It's at the forefront. I need to be thinking that every day I kind of walk in the classroom there. How do I constructively analyze the events in society there? When am I bringing up these examples here? Is it only for a certain chapter or is it, you know, kind of daily there, right? So if you move over then to slide 16, you get to see like an example then of what my survey ended up being there. So I did an IRB. I got the students' permission to get the data, you know, all of that stuff there. So this was just kind of like that course design or my survey design. And I'm using just like how frequent. This comes from the calculus research that I saw there they were saying, well, how often does this student experience this in calculus? So I kind of adapted that. That's where this scale is coming from in the research there. So my students, they know that it's voluntary. They can skip any survey question, right? It does not impact their grade. It doesn't have personal attacks against me. It's just helping the course be better, right? So then they go through and they think about the digital lessons I do for this course help me with learning the process of calculus. Was that happening every class through most classes, right? And remember, do I need to trust it, right? But it helps me of like, well, I don't think we did it every class, but you say you're doing every class, right? And we're just trying to figure out, well, how are we overlapping and just trying to define those experiences that we share there? So the student would go through and do 2-1 or something. They would submit their feedback to me and then they could give me comments, concerns for me there, right? So this is what I ended up with. This was kind of like my goal. This gives me that E-Ray vision. It's helping me understand the student's experience. And you know, so much of previous, before I was doing my SOTL work, a lot of it was just driven by content, right? How well are my students learning derivatives, right? That's still at the forefront, but side by side, stepping with that is also this vision of equity. And as you learn those derivatives, what type of experience are you having there, right? I don't want to sacrifice of having a terrible experience just so that you can learn the derivatives there, all right? So we have about 5 minutes left. So there's a couple of things I want to share with you. If you move over to slide 17, we get, you know, if you want to try to create your own survey, I would love to see some of these here. So maybe you'll go ahead and give it a try, right? So first think about, well, what course do you want to do? Well, maybe I'm gonna do something on stats. I'm doing stats for the first time this semester here over my 20 years of teaching there. And this is a really interesting time for me. So maybe I want to think about simulations. When my students are doing simulations in the classroom, what are they experiencing? I think Kate was, our president was talking about this in the latest AMATIC news there, kind of like those barriers, that resistance to the online homework and just talking about simulations, right? So, and then also, I'm going to maybe share these on the AMATIC site so people can maybe think about maybe trying out your survey there. So yes, you can. I can include it, but I won't include your name. If you do, and you do want me to identify you, let me know. And but if you say no, do not share, right? No problem there. So, and then when you move over to slide 18, you get to maybe think about, this is going to be my question. So right now I have, this is a survey stats for survey for stats. Luke will not share. A framework of equity is used to how students experience simulations, right? What is your achievement question, you know, as students do simulations? What is your access question? What is your statement about power and identity? Using that E-Ray vision, that vision of equity, that framework there. And then boom, you have these there. So if you want to kind of create a survey later on, I'll come back and I will look at this. And maybe we can start building a collection of resources, right? Or maybe you will start thinking about, hey, maybe when I'm finished with the lab, maybe I can just ask them a few statements here, right? And maybe you're like, well, it's kind of loaded. If you put in achievement, access, and power and identity, go ahead and remove those labels. That's perfectly fine there. Just kind of see if you can create four statements, right? To try to see, well, how fair was this thing that my students are experiencing there? In my last 2 minutes here, I do have, maybe I should be practicing what I preach here. So in these last 2 minutes, if you want to go ahead and, you know, take this survey for me, I would love that, right? So, you know, I'm thinking about what was your experience as during this presentation here, right? So for me, my achievement, this did the digital presentation helped me understand Luke's solo work about equity. You know, how often do you feel like that was happening for you there? What about the access? I contribute to the presentation to build a community of ideas. The power, were you thinking about using this in your classroom? I think that would be powerful. That's that social change there. And, you know, were you able to be yourself, but maybe still grow to be a better person, maybe thinking about this equity there? So I guess I have about maybe 1 or 2 minutes here. I can take some questions in the chat and just kind of see what you all are thinking there. Will this Desmos link work after this session? Yes, it will keep working there. So if you saved your work, you can kind of come back to it. I'll also put in the My AMATIC space over here, this awesome space that was built here, the latest discussion, I will put that post there. And I plan on sharing a lot of the feedback that we were getting there so we can continue on with these conversations. The survey would be much better with open-ended questions. Ooh, I like that challenge there about, you know, so I guess for me, if you have it open-ended, right, you're kind of getting those ideas there. And I did find that was one limitation of it, that the open-endedness did kind of give more revealing there, but that's kind of like what the feedback was there. But you know, also the survey kind of gives you that quick glance, you know, you're just kind of using numbers there, but I love the open-endedness. What specific actions have you taken, right? And that's a great one. That was one that I had to think about. Okay, so if I see the students not having this experience, what do I do there? You know, so I just kind of reached out to them in emails like, hey, do you want to chat about this more? Or, you know, so sometimes I was looking for those outliers there, but you know, that's something I didn't really prepare for, you know, okay, once you see this, well, what are you going to do about it, right? Once you have this data, what can you do from there? How often do you use Desmos lessons? I've been using them since 2012. So every day since then. Thanks for the session there. Would it be much better there?
Luke, we want to thank you.
All right.
So you're going to be sharing via MyAMATIC. So please join us on myamatic.org to continue our conversation about equity. And thank you for attending. And please join us in our next sessions coming up at the top of the hour. in 15 minutes, okay? And I'll hang around for a minute if there's any questions.
Bye, friends. Thanks so much for your time. To the person, which activities do you want? Will you provide your is there a certain topic? I guess I didn't say to the people at the end slide, there is all of my information there. I guess I did kind of forget to say that. I'm gonna go ahead and turn off the pacing.
So have you
Mr. Luke, I'm sorry, yes. Can I ask him this question?
Sure.
Do you have time to do those activities in class or they are outside class?
That's how I run my class. So it was pretty much how I ran my presentation today. That's how I do those activities. I kind of work with students. Some people do it outside of class. Some people just kind of monitor it. People have different styles.
So is it Desmos? I never used it. Is it a user friendly with the iPad, with the iPhones? Yes. And stuff? Okay. Mm-hmm. And how
it's all,
fast you?
HTML5.
Oh, okay, got you. All right.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to have to go open the room for the next session. So I'm going to go ahead and close this one out. Again, thank you, everyone, and hope to see you in the next session. Bye-bye.